The Bench. The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Good Thursday morning, everybody. John and Lance along with Dell. Let's get it going. What's up, man? You there? Lance. Oh, that's a terrible way to start the show.
I heard rustling.
You heard rustling?
Yeah, like a mic being hit.
Oh, that's what Lance does. Is that his test? Where he hits the mic accidentally?
I guess so.
That's how he does it? What about, which do you think is more likely? Lance makes the show or the Fox Morning Crew makes the show? Fox Morning Crew for the college football.
Well, I already know they're not making their show. So I think it's Lance. He still has, 3 hours?
Lance still has 4 hours. 3 hours and 15. Oh, no, he still has 3 hours. You're right. 3 hours to get here. Urban Meyer, Matt Leinart, Reggie Bush, Brady Quinn, and Rob Stone all out due to COVID-19 protocols.
Yeah, so you're going to see, not that I mind, Carissa Thompson on the show.
Yeah.
You'll see Terry.
That's good. You ever seen any videos with her?
No. You're talking about. You'll see Terry Bradshaw.
Terry Bradshaw talking some college football.
Yeah, that's
talk some Louisiana Tech.
Probably going to be like Charles Barkley talking college basketball and how well that goes when he's doing tournament stuff. You're going to see Emmanuel Acho. Texas is back.
All right.
So you'll see
Emmanuel Acho's sharp.
Yeah, I like him. You'll see a lot of their auxiliary. Well, Terry's a star on that network, but you'll see people who normally wouldn't do that, wouldn't do college football, but they'll be here for this because it's the big noon kickoff. They're going to be there for the USC Arizona State game, which will be 9 Pacific time, and none of their crew will be available, which is much like what Lance is doing right now.
Right. None of their peeps are available, like Lance, unavailable at this point in our lives.
And, you know, it's weird. Because, you know, we both have phones. So does he. He knows what time the show starts, right?
I'm not sure about that.
Okay, you make a point. But you would imagine if he was having issues, he would say, hey, guys, I've got an issue.
Yeah. Well, I think he's in his car again. He has more internet issues. Last night he said, yeah, I think he's hardwired into his car again, doing it from his car.
And he decided not to tell anyone?
Well, no, he told us last night. Are you not on that thread?
No, I'm not on it.
I don't understand. You're on it.
Now, he called us F-Watts. Then why aren't you speaking?
What? Why don't you say something?
Why don't
then,
you
Lance?
Say something if you're connected? That doesn't make any sense.
See? Well, he might want to turn the mic on.
Yeah, I'm literally connected right now listening to you, F-Watts.
He dropped a bad word on us.
Why don't you tell somebody which one you're on?
Check.
Why wouldn't he tell someone?
Can anyone hear me? Can anyone hear me?
You know what you're supposed to do when you've been on
God Almighty.
When you've been on Brick 2 for 2 weeks.
Where's Lance? Lance isn't here. Well, Lance has been sitting here the whole time.
You know when you've been on Brick 2 for 2 weeks, why don't you tell someone you're on a different channel?
Maybe you didn't hear. John doesn't shine shoes anymore. He's in studio.
Yeah.
Yeah, you were on Brick 2 yesterday and he was in studio.
Why did you change bricks without even telling anybody?
This is the good brick.
Well, then that doesn't answer the question. Why didn't you tell anyone?
Oh. You've been on the same brick every day and you changed today.
Oh, my God.
And he thinks, yeah, they're just going to know.
Well, they'll know. They'll figure it out.
I was connected to Brick 2, and then it was busy, and then I got a busy signal because I had to reconnect. I got a busy signal, and you guys were starting the show again. They're like, Lance isn't there. I was on Brick 2.
Let me ask you.
And then it was busy, so I went to Brick 1.
Let me ask you some questions about your process. When did you decide to connect?
Well, I decided to connect last night.
No, but when did you decide this morning to connect?
Well, I mean, regular time. I'm in a garage right now because the AT&T who said they were going to fix my stuff's been doing this for about 3 months. All of a sudden, all the work we got it fixed. Yeah, well, the internet's down. My kids are screaming. They start screaming. They hate AT&T now. I mean, they're getting kicked off school all the time.
Oh, no.
And getting in trouble for it. And so, it's not working again. I'm sick of this place. Get a refund. And they're running around, crop dusting the whole house.
Oh, crop dusting. Just because the internet went down, they decide that it's okay to crop dust.
Oh, they've had reports like, if you can't get your internet fixed, we're going to have the city of Houston provide you with hotspots and all this stuff. And they're like, what? It's just, I'm literally in a car doing a show again, and I've got this, I mean, I've got two extension cords out, and I'm parked right up against my smoker, my Green Mountain smoker, because I've got to try to reach this long-ass cord into the router, and I'm sitting in my car right now. Luckily, it's not freezing cold like it was the other day.
Still didn't answer the question.
Oh.
Well, I don't know. What's the question?
What time did you connect?
I couldn't get connected for about 7 minutes.
Okay. And in that
Then I got connected because I had to turn off and redo the whole router.
And then in that seven-minute span, when you know I'm here, did you say, hey, Dell, I'm having an issue. Should I connect to something else?
No, because I knew I just had to reset the ONT.
That's all you had to do?
Well, but the ONT takes about 5 minutes to reset again.
So are we done with this or what?
Yeah, hopefully.
Hopefully. Yeah.
Do you think his kids call when they're having issues with the internet, do you think they call the teacher what he called us? Effing.
No, I'm pretty sure those words didn't come out.
Did snacks go?
What, you got ugly on our text there, Lance?
Yeah, cuz I'm listening to y'all talk.
Wow.
Wow, but
when you think it's behind my back, I heard the ugliness that was coming out of you guys' mouth.
I'll say it right now. I don't care about it being behind your back. Ooh, I thought that word stopped being used like 10 years ago.
Like 8 years ago.
Yeah, probably. What do you think?
You can only bring it out for certain occasions.
I'm looking at an over-under for the Texans right now. What do you think their over-under right now is?
For game or wins?
Wins. Win total.
Oh, I mean, I would say probably 4.5.
Five.
Yeah.
Five. They got Jake Luton this week, right? Okay.
That's a W.
This is a W, right? The second half, we've been saying it all along, the second half of the season is going to be, I mean, the first half was a beast. Now, you're at Cleveland. I mean, that's a coin flip, if you want to know the truth.
It really, I mean, Cleveland's record, I wouldn't pay attention to the record.
No, that's a coin flip. And then you got New England at home.
Yeah, more winnable again.
Go to Detroit, which you never know. I think Detroit's going to be favored, but you still, the Texans, not like they can't win that game. Then you got the Colts.
They got you circled also, by the way.
Yeah, that's true. You got the Colts. Then you got at Chicago, at the Colts. You got Cincinnati coming in here. Tennessee coming in here. I mean, I could certainly see, you know, out of the 9 games left, you could win 4 games. You could easily win 4.
Yeah, it's possible. I don't think you'll beat Chicago. I think their defense will crush you. And I think Joe Burrow beat you here. Titans will beat you. Colts will beat you. I think you do have a shot against Detroit. I think you should beat New England.
I think you got a shot against the Colts.
Of course, once again, they're circling you also.
Yeah, right.
So Colts defense is what scares me. They're getting rougher and rougher. So I really, you know, I just there's some defenses that make me a little nervous in that one, including the Colts and Chicago Bears. So. I just don't know if you can crank up enough points. You know, I was thinking about this. Is Will Fuller going to be a pain in the ass now? Not anything like, you know, wide receiver diva, but are we just going to see marginal effort from him? Is he, you know, he had a spanky gift.
Oh,
that
no,
he
he's got, you think this we're is a contract see him work year, hard? Bro.
Yeah, I guess that's true. Yeah, that's true.
No, he's going to play his ass off.
No, that's true. It
he
is
wants money.
Year.
So if he lollygags, if he, you know, pisses and moans, then. You know, here's the guy is JJ. I mean, JJ yesterday was pretty adamant. I don't want to be any part of any rebuild process. I think JJ is pissed.
Right. Yeah. You know, he's been showing people this. He wants to make sure that everyone knows. And hopefully JJ's able to move himself off the I can't believe I'm saying this. I mean, I've never wanted to actively move a player who I thought was a pretty good player who wasn't even a pain in the ass off the team. But they just need value. They just have to get something. They got to get a draft pick. They got to rebuild. And, you know, this is one of the rare times where I just want to see JJ have a shot before his career's over. Because he's been a good soldier for the, you know, for the Texans. He was the most dominant defensive player in the league over a five-year span. You know, he was injured for some of those years, but he was the most dominant defensive player for a five-year span. He's been great in the city. I want to see him get his chance. I mean, it's not going to be here. The Texans don't have a chance. Bill O'Brien and Jack Easterby finished that off. But and, you know, frankly, Brian Gain, Rick Smith, I mean, the whole crew, it's not like they were ever really in the mix. Let's just be honest. The Texans, every time in the playoffs, they got their living nuts kicked off of them. So it didn't, you know, they were never really that. Are you that close when you get embarrassed? Every playoff loss is an embarrassment?
No.
That's not really close, is
it? And you got to advance more than one game.
Like, get a hamstring or a groin hurt like the Rockets. Miss 27 straight threes like the Rockets. Then, you know, then it's like you almost had a chance.
Yeah.
Don't lose by 30.
51-7 in, you know, after the first 20 minutes. I mean, but that's them. And don't lose to the Colts the way you lost to the Colts.
Yeah, don't get embarrassed by the Colts.
Right.
Don't have Kansas City return the opening 30, kickoff on you.
30-0. Don't do that. Don't do 30-0.
Oh, we're all in now. Laramie Tunsil. We're all in, Houston. All in.
Shut up, idiots.
Whoa.
I'm in a pissed off mood. I can't get coffee.
Well, I know you.
Are ragging on me.
Nobody. No. Why are you on?
My eyes are really itchy today.
Why are you on the wrong brick? That's all.
That's all we were wondering. They didn't trade anybody.
No.
It's nothing to look. There's George is leaving. James is still here.
He's talking
here.
About Springer.
Oh, George Springer.
You don't want James
here? I thought Georgia was leaving.
No, not
George Springer.
Well, they might believe in Trump. No, he was talking about George Springer.
Oh, George Springer.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah.
Oh, George, yeah.
That's heartbreaking.
Yeah, I know. It is heart. Everything is heartbreaking right
George
now.
George is still in his prime. He's still in his prime, and he's going to leave us.
He's out of here, and he's gone. Thanks, George,
See, now
for
you're
nothing.
Just trying to,
Thanks, yeah. George, for nothing, jerk.
No, that's not on George.
Yeah,
How
it's on George.
Pay him instead of, hey, George, what do you think about this money? You know what? Maybe the Astros don't need to put a sack of money in front of him and then pull it away on a string.
Well, maybe they decided, maybe they said, holy crap, look at COVID. And we're not even going to have any fans. Let's pay George $30 million a year when nobody can come to a game.
George shouldn't be getting no $30 million.
Yeah,
now.
He'll get 25.
Well,
he'll get 25. You got 150 mil laying around with no fans in the stands.
I don't have a team.
Except I'm watching Korean baseball playoffs right now. The stands are full. Everywhere else, the pandemic has recrushed every country in the world, mm-hmm. and in Korea, they've got all the stands are full.
Yeah, because
you know what? They respect authority.
Yeah, they're like, hey,
they're submissive, respect authority, and
Whoa,
they do what they're
why
told.
Are Korean people submissive?
I don't know.
No, they do. They submit to authority, and authority says, "Don't do this." They don't do it.
What
Guess
don't
what?
They do? They're all going to a game together.
Well,
yeah,
earlier,
coronavirus is gone,
and that's all they do. It's not gone.
No, It's
in more
Korea?
Rampant than ever.
Not
no,
there.
Not
it's
in
not.
Korea. You know why? Oh, guess why? Because they did all the precautions that they were told to.
Like America.
Like the World Health Organization said, oh, this is what you have to do to crush it. You basically isolate and strangle it out and it's gone.
Here's why. Here's why the coronavirus won't. Because that's all they do is bunt. Holy crap. That's like the fourth bunt this inning. Stop bunting.
Speaking of Corona, the Texans have shut down their facility.
Yeah. Jacob Martin caught it. Caught the Rona.
And there is a lot of stragglers in the NFL catching Corona now. Andy Dalton got it. How does Andy Dalton get coronavirus?
Well, because he got his head taken off. That dude left a bunch of Corona all over his face.
That's true. That's true.
I mean.
That dude, John Bostic.
Yeah. He left it all over Andy's face.
He did get close enough.
Yep. All right, 713-780-3776. It's probably a holiday show. I think it started that way. Well, with the way Lance was talking to us and the ugly things he called us.
That was ugly.
That was really ugly. ZipRecruiter isn't, though. ZipRecruiter's effective. ZipRecruiter says that all you have to do is go to ZipRecruiter.com.
That he can play and almost...
ZipRecruiter.com And you can go to, you can try ZipRecruiter for free, actually. All you have to do is go to ZipRecruiter.com/John, ZipRecruiter.com/John. ZipRecruiter is so effective, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. First day. They do all the work for you, too. They're powerful matching technology. You put in the job, ZipRecruiter scans thousands of resumes to find the people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply for your job. You can even add screening questions to your job listing so you can filter candidates and focus on the right ones. It's hard to find qualified candidates these days because there are so many out there. Who's right for you? Well, ZipRecruiter will find that for you. ZipRecruiter.com/John, ZipRecruiter.com/John.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
I am here. Obviously, I'm trying to do whatever I can to help us win games. I don't think it's any secret that I don't have 10 years left in this league. I personally believe that I do have a few more great ones left in me. But you also can't, you know, I'm not looking to rebuild. I'm looking to go after a championship, and that's what I want to do. So, whatever's in the best interest of the Houston Texans, that's in the best interest of myself. And so, but like I said, I'm interested in winning a championship in this league. That's how every player's goal.
Yeah, and you ain't gonna do that. Just so I don't want to pee in your coffee, JJ. But you ain't gonna do that here, and you ain't gonna do that because the team won't trade you because you're the star player on the team. You're one of the only attractions to this team. I mean, I think they thought, I really do, I think they thought, man, the fan base would just be so pissed off if we traded JJ.
Yeah.
And they have zero foresight, zero, I mean, they just don't get it. The fan base wants them to get better. You know what? JJ was here, and JJ was great. I know a lot of people probably would have been, oh, damn, we don't have JJ anymore. Oh, that sucks. But how about, you know, because JJ is really not, I mean, paying a guy $17.5 million next year when you have no chance of winning, and a guy who really would rather be somewhere else instead of, like he just said, the first press conference that he has coming back off of the bye and the trade deadline is, I ain't interested in rebuilding. And what are you doing here?
I don't have a lot of years left. He basically told you, I'm kind of pissed off that I wasn't moved.
Yeah.
And that I wasn't even considered to be moved.
I mean, it's.
He just told you that.
And when he put, who put it out there? We don't know. A lot of agents will put it out there, you know, giving it to Jason LaConfora or Ian Rappaport or whatever, that JJ is open to a trade. You know what? That was just the bat call to Cal and Jack Easterby. And whoever, and I don't know who else is trading. It's the bat call. Hey, JJ wants out, guys. JJ's not going to go. Now, maybe JJ could have called them and say, guys, you can trade me. You can trade me.
This is where I'm waiting for. Adams, Jamal Adams, to come out and say, JJ, listen, I've got a playbook on how to get out.
Yeah.
Okay. I need you to follow this playbook. Start going after your general manager. We don't have
one. Or your owner. You could have called him stuff like you called me and Dell this morning.
Yeah, he could have. I still don't think they would have traded him. Honestly, I think it would take a miracle to trade JJ Watt.
Why?
Because that's how they. Because it took a miracle to finally be out of Brian Cushing.
And they were. That's their guy. They couldn't let him go.
No, and they brought him back as a strength coach, a guy who had 2 ped suspensions. They brought him back as a strength coach. I mean, this is how they roll. They find, you know, they're extremely what they consider to be loyal to the people who are to the players who are beloved in this city, I guess. And I don't know that Cushing was necessarily beloved in the city. I mean,
well, it's what it is. It's just going to be a giant celebration that JJ played for one team. He was here. He's our guy.
This is our star power.
We put him up, and actually, we're going to build a statue of JJ Watt outside. Three-time defensive MVP JJ Watt is going to get a statue. I'm telling you, JJ will get that statue.
Okay, will it be him saluting the end zone after a sack, him flipping a tire, or will it be him like maybe holding a pectoral muscle?
No, it's not going to be holding a pectoral muscle. But it's going to be that thing he does before the game where he like flexes when he's coming running out of the tunnel and he screams and they say, and
that's what
JJ, what? And he puts his arms, you know, and like flexes, does that flex thing. That's going to be it.
So if you're worried that your fan base will be upset because you traded JJ Watt, because by the way, I'm going to keep hitting reset on this is still a move that can be made in the offseason during the, you know, before the draft. You still need draft picks, and you can get your draft picks, and you know where your draft picks are before that. So, you know, it's still – it wouldn't make any difference other than J.J. wouldn't have played with another team because it's still these draft picks that you were after anyway or that you should have been after. So if that's the case, where am I going with this? In terms of that – you know, it may be as simple as we don't want to do anything – until we have a general manager and let him decide if he wants to. Because, look, if you're worried about the fan base being upset, A, there's nobody in the stands. I mean, there's almost nobody in the stands because of COVID. And frankly, if you didn't have COVID saving you from some embarrassing turnouts, you would have 47,000 in the seats right now, I think, John. Do you think that's
I think you'd have 40-some-odd thousand this week. Hell, I don't think they're getting – what do they got, 13-3? I don't think they're getting 13-3 in there. I don't think they've had 13-3 in there.
Well, because Jacksonville's not going to travel. Like,
well, no.
You don't have them in the city like you had.
They had 13-3 against the Packers, but it about nine of it was Packer fans. They had 13-3, but they had a good majority of it was Packer fans.
There were more Packer fans.
Yes.
Our guy Uncle Freddie took video of it after a touchdown. It was astonishing how many Packer fans were there and how loud it got when the Packers scored their first touchdown.
No. And they don't pipe. It doesn't sound as loud because they don't pipe in the fan noise with over the speakers too. Well, whenever the Texans did anything, they had the speaker noise. Plus they had the 14 fans that they had, and that sounded louder than the Packers fans, but it's not, it wasn't. It was louder, but it wasn't more fans just because it sounded louder. Let's get Joe in here. He wants to talk about JJ. What do you say, Joe?
Hey guys, how's it going?
Good.
Hey, on that interview, do you know if that was at the very beginning of his press conference?
I don't know. It was Sarah Barshop. She put that out there. I can find it for you. I can find it, yeah.
The reason why is I'm not going to spend 14 minutes watching J.J. Watt. I'm not that interested of a fan, but I was trying to find that clip, and they start that press conference on the Texans YouTube page, chops off something, the whole beginning of something, and you could tell Watt is irritated, and then the conference picks up from there. I was just wondering if the Texans edited that whole piece off.
No, it is not at the beginning. It is not at the beginning. Okay. In 10 years in the league, no.
It does say everything. That his words speak volumes, and to be quite honest with you, I watch it because it's on in town. If you look at Deshaun Watson's demeanor, that is not the demeanor of somebody that you really think is going to lift these people up and take them somewhere. He's being, and not that he's a bad person, but he's been drawn down by this entire process also. I wonder if he's even, you know, if he regrets the contract.
I do too. Yeah. Honestly, Deshaun, his body language, and once again, I want to make sure I put it out there. It's not that I think he is being negative or anything. He just looks like he's beaten down. It looks like he's already – he said he wasn't going to have his joy stolen. Well, he got his paycheck, so that briefly made him happy. And then I think the realization set in, oh, man, I mean, I'm still – even though O'Brien's finally gone, it's still like this isn't going to be good.
It was the sixth question asked of JJ on the transcripts anyway. It was the sixth question.
There is a reason that Deshaun, I've been told there is a reason Deshaun was, after the Kansas City deal with Mahomes, I made some phone calls and was asking about length of JJ's or Deshaun's contract. Like, are you ready? I just made a contract, a comment to somebody who's close with him about, you know, you're ready for your $500 million deal. And his comment was, oh, no, 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 no. All Deshaun wants is a three-year deal. Now, if you can get over on your GM and get a three-year deal, that gets you to the market faster. Usually that's like a Kirk Cousins deal where you're not really sure about a player.
Right.
And maybe the Texans aren't sure about him. I don't get the feeling that that's what the Texans
think. Well, basically, yeah, that's what Kirk Cousins did. Well, he had a two-year deal. He had his last year. Well, no, because he only had 4 years. He didn't have the fifth year because he wasn't a first-rounder. Then
no,
he had
Minnesota,
a franchise.
Though.
Then he had a franchise.
Yeah,
and
but
then
Minnesota
he picked up
gave
3 years, right.
Yeah, Minnesota gave him three, and that's because they weren't really sure.
Right.
In this case, it's Deshaun basically saying two things. I can get to the market even faster and get even more money, which the team should never let a quarterback get to the market that fast after giving him that kind of contract. But they did it with two players. Laremy Tunsil, that's what's astonishing. They gave up. They basically gave the player control with just a small short-term three-year deal. And that's not because they're expecting the players to prove it. That's because the players bullied them and got a short deal. That's terrible for the team. But the other thing is, I don't think Deshaun wanted to commit long-term to being a Houston Texan. Because when he did that deal, Bill O'Brien was in place, and I don't think he trusted Bill O'Brien. Well, the damage has been done.
Who can trust Bill O'Brien? 729 ESPN 97.5. 713-780-3776, 713-780-3776. When we come back, Deshaun says he's playing the best football of his career. We will discuss that. He's actually leading the league in yards per attempt this year, which is interesting. 713-780-3776 if you want to get in here on ESPN 97.5. Right now, I'm talking about John Clay Wolf, and I'm talking about GiveMeTheVIN.com. That's GiveMeTheVIN.com. When you want to sell your vehicle, there's only one place to go, and that's GiveMeTheVIN.com. If you, I mean, it couldn't be easier. It cannot be an easier process. You basically, it takes literally 5 minutes. John Clay Wolf on Saturday mornings does this over the telephone. He asks you what, you know, will this get it done? I mean, after just hearing what the year and make and model of the car is, will this get it done? But then you have to, you know, well, if not, if it's all torn up and beat up and everything else, and you're like, oh, dude, no, I can't, obviously. Now we have to worry about that kind of stuff, is what kind of shape it's in. But if it is, you know, if it's what you say it is, man, you're getting that money. You are getting that money anyway because John Clay Wolf, I mean, this dude, he's unbelievable. He just gives more. He just gives you more for the car. I don't know how he does it. He does it with volume. I don't know how he does it with volume because if you keep on losing more and more and more, I don't know how you're able to do it, but he's able to do it. He's unbelievable. So if you want the most for your car, go to GiveMeTheVIN.com. That's GiveMeTheVIN.com.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Erline.
Honestly, yes, I am. As far as just being the quarterback and being efficient, I think this is the best I've felt as far as just, you know, getting the ball out, you know, staying ahead of the chains. Being able to distribute the ball and just kind of getting around and just the field. So, honestly, these are the best numbers I've had over my career. Who knows what my rookie year would have been like when I got hurt. But, yes, I feel, you know, this is the best football I've been playing for a while.
So the numbers bear it out. You know, I mean, I think Deshaun, I know they're 1-6 and you have a franchise quarterback and you shouldn't be 1-6 with a franchise quarterback. But every number, his completion percentage is his highest ever. He's going to throw he's on average more yards than ever. He's averaging 299 yards per game, which is the most he's ever had. He is, his interception percentage is second lowest in his career. His second year is 1.8. This year is 2.1. But he's going to throw for over on pace for over 30 touchdowns, which is his best, and just over 10 interceptions, which is that's a nice ratio, which is the best ratio he's ever had. Yards per attempt, he leads the league at 8.8 at yards per attempt, which is pretty darn good. His QB rating is higher than ever. His sacks, you know, he's on pace to have a few more than last year, but nowhere near his league-leading 62, his second year in the league, with the most yards. He's led the league in two things. Well, three things. Sacks, most sacks, 62, 384 yards, sack yards, and then five game-winning drives last year. Led the league, actually. Five game-winning drives. And now this year, his fourth thing, yards per attempt, but we'll see how that turns out. So he's playing the best football of his career, and yet he's taking a lot of crap. And here's the thing, too, is, you know, we talked about this offense without DeAndre Hopkins, and truth be told, you know, we were wondering, was Deshaun be able to, you know, how is he going to handle it without his whoopee? You know, is he going to be able to distribute the ball? These last few weeks, he has been so much better. And, oh, by the way, he's playing his best football. This may be the best offense that they've had since he got here.
What?
Well, he's playing better than ever.
This isn't the best offense they've had since he's been
here. Playing better than ever?
Do you believe
it's not
that
computing,
can be true?
But yes, it
okay, okay.
Okay. Well, wait a minute.
I'm just making sure.
So they've scored under Bill O'Brien. They couldn't score over 25. They couldn't score 25 points. Now, since then, since he's gone, two out of the three games, they've scored 30 points. They couldn't score 25 with Bill O'Brien here.
So Deshaun, you're saying Deshaun's playing his best football of his career over the last three games?
Well, no, he threw for
not this year.
Minnesota, he threw for 300.
He threw for 140 in the fourth quarter when they were down. They scored two late touchdowns. Remember?
No, that's true. No,
they were getting their asses kicked.
Right. Well, yeah. I mean, Pittsburgh, he obviously played really well in the first half and nothing in the second. Nothing in the second half. Baltimore, that was just a blowout. And Kansas City. Again, let's not forget, he was facing Baltimore, Kansas City. Turns out Pittsburgh was pretty good. And maybe Minnesota's a little bit better than everybody thought. What they're kicking Packers' ass last week.
There was really nothing for the first three quarters, not much, and then he packed on yards in the fourth quarter. What's after that? What's been the last three? Because the last three, he's got some good numbers.
Well, he's got great numbers. I mean, that was the greatest game ever in a loss in NFL history, what he did against Tennessee. And then Jacksonville, it was Jacksonville, but he still played really, really well. And then last week, not so much. Second half, they were better. But he still threw for over 300 yards.
Greatest game ever in a loss.
Ever, statistically. It was the greatest game by a quarterback in a loss.
How many touchdowns did he end up with? Six?
He ended up, I don't know. That wasn't the measure.
Which statistics were the measure?
335 yards, four touchdowns, no interceptions, 138.9 quarterback rating. It was the greatest game in NFL history by a losing quarterback.
So he did have four touchdowns. Yeah, I mean, that's pretty good. That's a pretty good game, statistically for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, statistically. I mean, and he did everything he possibly could. He knew as soon as he lost the coin toss.
Mm-hmm.
It was over. He knew.
Yeah, well, of course that game wasn't on him. That was a really good game from Deshaun. That was Deshaun's best game of the year. I don't think there's no question about that. I just feel like, and I think he mentioned something that's very important that I think is something his quarterback coach, Quincy Avery, was referencing. I mentioned this. Quincy Avery, his personal quarterback coach.
Oh, I was going to say, because Josh McCown is his quarterback coach now.
Not on the team. His personal quarterback coach, who's been with him since his high school days. Quincy on Twitter said, Deshaun's playing the best football of his career. He said that, I want to say, was it early this week or was it last week that he said it? Anyway, it would have been last week, yeah. And Deshaun mentioned getting the ball out on time. So that's something that's in Deshaun's head. I mean, that's good. That's good that he's thinking about that and he wants to do that. That's good. I always, you know, my dad and I, when we talk about Deshaun Watson, we always go back, or I always go back to Ben Roethlisberger, because I think there's so many comparisons to Ben in terms of ability to make plays. Now, Ben does not move like he used to. And even when he was in his prime, Ben somehow got free of, like, he was so big and strong. It's not like he was the great athlete Deshaun is, but he could make things happen. But Ben just really struggled with wanting to play hero ball all the time. And really just thinking that I can just do it with my pure athletic ability, or my pure talent, I should say, and I don't have to worry about, you know, about playing the chess match. And I think Deshaun has had some of that too. And it wasn't until Ben started trying to play the chess match a little bit better and started getting rid of the ball that he became a different quarterback. And that's what I'm waiting to happen for Deshaun, because Deshaun, I know Deshaun can make the highlight reel plays. I already know that. What I want to see him do is consistently get through an entire season of making defensive coordinators question sending zero blitzes at him all the time. Because right now they know that there's certain blitz packages they can throw at him, and when he gets behind the chains, he's going to be in trouble. But when he can start beating those blitzes with his mind, with knowing what he wants to do when it comes, and he can start anticipating those things, you know, that's when he takes the step to being a potentially great quarterback. And that's what I'm waiting to see from Deshaun, is that defensive coordinators, they can't just default to a certain defensive look against him. Like zone, you know, they do a lot of cover two. They talked about it on broadcast, a lot of cover two shells, and then they force him to dink and dunk, and it's something he doesn't really love to have to do. I'm shocked to hear he leads the league in yards per attempt.
Yeah.
It doesn't feel like, where are the big long bombs? He had one against Tennessee. Does it feel like he's having one of those seasons where he's hitting a bunch of explosive plays?
You know, I think that Brandon Cooks is coming up with some, and you know, I guess Will Fuller has come up with a few. I would think Russell Wilson with his DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett throws.
Exactly.
Right? But I don't know. I guess not. I don't know. That's weird. It's wild. It's wacky. Yards per attempt. I don't have that average. Yeah, the average Deshaun Watson, 8.8, and Kirk Cousins is second at 8.7, and Russell Wilson is 8.4. Dak was 8.4 till he died. Teddy Bridgewater. Man, yeah, Deshaun's leading the league. And it's weird. I guess those over-the-top to Brandon Cooks are, I guess, I don't know. He's throwing the ball down the field. Well, here's the thing. We've been saying, you know, that, oh, these guys, they can catch the ball out of the backfield. Where are all the throws? Where are his checkdowns to his running backs?
Well, I mean, I don't want him to become a checkdown Charlie, like, you know, where Dominic Williams was catching 180 balls a year because of David Carr. But I am a little surprised that David Johnson hasn't been a bigger factor and Duke. I'm kind of surprised that they're not catching five a game. You know, that's what I was expecting.
Right. Right. No, and you would think that would be a weapon. I mean, because these guys, they clear it out because you got all fast guys on the outside. They clear it out, and you're able to pick up some yards with your running back on a linebacker, and they just haven't done it. I mean, they started to do it a little bit against Green Bay. And David Johnson caught a couple of passes against Green Bay. But for the most part, it has been he's throwing the ball down the field, and that's what's got him. Yeah, it's surprising. He's number one in the league in average yards per attempt, but that's it. 742 ESPN 975 713-780-3776 is the number if you'd like to get in here on ESPN 975. I got to talk right now about my peeps over at Absolute Marble and Granite. Jeff Aronoff is spectacular at what he does. Jeff Aronoff is going to come to your home or your business. And listen, with everything that's going on with the COVID and everything else, I mean, and if you got the kids that are back in school and you got to upgrade, the kids have ruined it, whatever. They destroy everything. But if you want to, you need to renovate, you need to upgrade, you need stone, marble, brick. It just makes your house look so much richer, so much nicer. And this is what Jeff Aronoff deals with every day, in the countertops and the vanities and even cabinets and everything else. He can get this job done. He can put in that entire – he can renovate that entire kitchen. If you need a new look, if you've got to redo this thing because it was just been so poor, or you've been in this home for 20 years, you got to do this, people. You really have got to do this. You got to add some money to this thing. Otherwise, you ain't getting it out of it. And this is the biggest investment of your life. So let Jeff Aronoff come over, and he can design everything for you, and he'll get this job done for you. At 20% off because you're a 97.5 listener. 713-880-2822, 713-880-2822.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
I don't blame it, Don.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Cameron. Wow.
John, I'm looking at Sharp Football, Warren Sharp stats.
Yeah.
His explosive pass rate, Texans number one. 11% of their pass plays are explosive. They are number one in the league with 30.
That's what we do.
And the Indianapolis Colts have 27. They are third in the league. How is that possible?
That is impossible. That's impossible.
Minnesota is second, and guess who's 18th? Seattle.
Hmm. Wow.
Last in the league. Got a guess?
Last in the league in yards, in explosive plays down the field?
Explosive plays, passing plays.
I'm going to guess.
It's not hard.
Jacksonville? Jets. Jets. Yeah. Oh, Sam Darnold is averaging 5 yards, 5.5 yards per attempt. 5.5.
Explosive rush plays, the Houston Texans are 21st.
Yeah.
How are they that high?
I would have thought 29th. 30th.
If you eliminate Deshaun Watson. And
Deshaun that's where you get it, yeah.
But Deshaun hasn't run a lot this year, though.
No. Are you a little worried about Danny Lee starting four over through four this morning?
I was talking about my wife during the last break. I went in and I'm like, "What's Danny Lee doing?" She goes, "He is not doing great."
No.
And I said, "Are you serious?" She's like, "Yeah, three over. So he must have already lost a stroke since we were talking about him."
Brooks Koepka's par's number one. So did Hideki Matsuyama.
Going out there today?
I'm going out tomorrow.
Okay.
Cameron Davis, 2 under through four today. He's our leader. I don't know that it's going to hold up, but he's our leader through four holes. There's only 68 holes left.
Man.
Yeah.
A sprint to the finish.
Well, no, it's a marathon. It's 4 days. It's a marathon.
Oh, when you said it, only 68. Well, it felt like we're really getting close. It's like Georgia in the presidential election.
Sometimes it feels like an ultra marathon.
Right. Matt Jones, former Houston Open champion, even through four. Russell Henley's out there. Gosh, it's so good.
You
to
excited,
have golf,
John?
That
have big time golf in the city.
Yeah, we got great players here. Jordan Spieth is out there. He's even through one. We'll keep it up, Jordan.
By the way, I was picking up wood pellets yesterday for my
at Texas Star Grill Shop.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, and one of the guys goes, "Hey, is Tiger playing this week at the Houston Open?"
And the answer is no.
And the answer is no. That's still the question, though.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's still the question from the casual golf fan is always, is Tiger
playing? Dude, it is unbelievable. I mean,
it's Houston. Of course he's not playing here.
The lead story at ESPN Golf is how will Tiger do at the Masters next week?
Serious question.
And he's not even a factor.
Did he get anyone pregnant? Does he owe somebody money in Houston? Did he stiff like somebody on a bill? What is it about?
Well, he doesn't play the week before a major.
But he never plays Houston.
No.
Not since he went to the PGA was the last time I remember.
Well, he didn't like the TPC Woodlands, I don't think.
Hey, here's a little thing. We've changed. Maybe in here it's changed courses a few times.
Well, right. But by the time it got to Redstone and then Slash, the golf club of Houston, It was the week before the Masters, and he doesn't play that.
He owes somebody money.
No, he doesn't owe anybody money here.
Tillman?
Well, no.
Did he short Tillman on something?
No. He liked,
was he involved in a poker game somewhere?
He used to play here when Butch was here. Tiger came here.
Underground poker game that Tiger.
No, but guess what?
Money?
You know who was at Wildcat yesterday?
Who?
Phil Ivey.
Was he really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh.
Phil Ivey was playing out there yesterday. How about that?
Playing golf?
Yeah, he was playing with Brad, Scarface.
Oh, was he really?
Yeah. 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 I didn't see him, but they said that he was on the course, and that's awesome. And
Ivey and Scarface were playing golf at Wildcat.
Yeah.
That's
just Scarface is there all the time.
No, I get it, but that's just something. If you would have told me Phil Ivey's prime, like early 2000s. If you would have told me in 2004, hey, Lance, let's just say 2006. Hey, Lance, guess what's going to happen 14 years from now? I'd be like, what? And they'd tell me, okay, the whole country is going to shut down. There's going to be a pandemic. All this stuff is going to happen. Okay. We're going to have 30 hurricanes. Okay. We are going to have an election that lasts for about 5 months. Okay. Also, Scarface from the Ghetto Boys is going to be with Phil Ivey from poker, and they're going to go play golf at Wildcat. I'm like, come on. Shut up.
Yeah.
Scarface and Phil Ivey at Wildcat? That just sounds crazy to me.
Yeah.
First of all, I didn't know Scarface played that much golf.
He does. He loves it. He loves it out there. He got really – I don't want to talk about it.
Well, he got big.
No.
He lost weight. He had a surgery.
Yeah, no. He's fine. He was running for city council.
Yeah. He had the stomach surgery and lost like a ton of weight. I saw. Did I tell you? I don't know if I told you this story before. When I was flying back and forth, I was on the show with you guys. When I was flying back and forth between L.A. to Houston 2 years ago, when I had to go every single week, it was. I noticed it was Scarface was in front of me in line to get on the plane. And he had, he had his phone and he was talking to somebody through a FaceTime because, that's what you do. You have out loud conversations with people without headphones in. And so anyway, I noticed the guy talking. I look at the name just over his shoulder. I see the name on it. And it just says Khaled, and it's DJ Khaled. They're just having a FaceTime conversation. Him and DJ Khaled are having a FaceTime conversation
with you over Brad's shoulder.
Yeah, me checking it out.
Yeah,
and then me and him start talking football, and he starts talking about the players that he's from his youth team going to Texas A&M. That he had a little pipeline. He was sending it over to Texas A&M, which I didn't know. I guess it would have been Jimbo then, but no, before I think it had been Sumlin. But I guess he's really involved. Like he really wants to be involved in coaching football. That's his thing. That's his love.
Jace says I was out of Wildcat too yesterday. That's what Jace said. Okay, Jace.
Oh, yeah,
tell. Why didn't you tell the
Jace,
audience?
That's Jace Duke from Methodist Hospital.
Oh, see, not Scarface, but just as good. I was
Jace.
I was reading up on Phil Ivey.
Yeah, no, Jace is.
Yeah, what were you saying?
He's had some issues.
What does?
Has he?
Phil Ivey, lawsuits, cheating casinos in Baccarat.
Who, Phil Ivey?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I haven't heard about him
he's
for
got,
a while.
Yeah, no, he had some, yeah.
Apparently, like, he used some type of technique where he could sense, like, manufacturing defects and help him win Baccarat. So he got a casino. He got the Borgata in Jersey for millions of dollars, multi-millions of dollars. So much so that now, if he plays tournaments, well, before they settled, he was playing tournaments in the U.S., and they would immediately seize any winnings because that's how much money he owed him. I think he owed him tens of millions of dollars.
Wow.
They just settled, so now he can play tournaments and actually keep some of the money. But, like, he won 100-plus K in 2019 from the World Series of Poker, and the Borgata, that's ours, thank you. because he owed them money because he cheated them.
Wow.
So, wait, so did he? Well, obviously, if he owed him, but if you're taking advantage of what exactly did he do?
Apparently, he and his partner, John, you would have fun saying the name Chin Yin Kelly. You'd be like, what's your real name when you give Kelly's son? They beat the Borgata out of $9.6
million
after it was revealed that the duo was using a controversial technique called edge sorting. The casino filed suit against Ivy and son. He did it to a couple of other casinos.
He was working them.
And he apparently they tried to take the money initially, and he had no money in his American bank accounts. He allegedly had switched it all to Mexico. So whenever he won money in America for a couple years, at least a year or so, they would just take it. Hey, that's ours. Thank you.
That's all right. I got my nine over here.
Yeah, maybe.
That's all right. But I got my nine in pesetas.
But they settled it, so now he can make money in America again.
Oh, good for him. Good for Phil. I was worried about his money.
Yeah, and by the way, someone else who I'm not worried about their money, Dana Holgorsen's coming up next.
Dana's going to join us next right here on ESPN 97.5. You think he's got a game this week playing Cincinnati?
And that game got moved to 2:30 on ABC because ABC or ESPN because the Purdue-Wisconsin game got canceled and had that slot. So now the Cougs got a big slot.
How about that? ABC. Show up. Got to go. Got to kick some ass. Got to kick some Cincinnati ass. Take that, Bearcats. Next right here on ESPN 97.5. In the meantime, I want to talk about CBD American Shaman. If something's kicking your ass, I don't know what it is. Anxiety? Because it can. And if anxiety is kicking your ass, then this is it's good for me. I'm going to tell you that. I mean, you can't make any promises that this is going to cure your anxiety or anything else, but I'll tell you this. You do. You feel more relaxed. I feel much better. Like, yeah, dude, everything's cool, man. Yeah. Well, and here's the deal. It's CBD oil. And it doesn't have the same, you know, qualities that you have in weed, but it doesn't have the THC. But here's the deal is it is water soluble and it does help. It does help. Here it is so effective with if you've got any kind of inflammation, if you've got hip, knee, back problems, whatever it is that you're having problems with, if you have headaches, whatever the case may be, CBD American Shaman is the oil for you because it's water soluble. Science matched with technology and just this great CBD oil altogether. 30 locations around the city. You're looking for CBD oil. Hey, they ain't afraid to give out free samples, and they are so knowledgeable. Go to shopcbdtx.com, shopcbdtx.com.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.